Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday afternoon, it's Shelly Nunchucks on the Shelly Nunchucks Show with her little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty, and I have a lovely little new addition, and yes, only Shelly Nunchucks. I go hiking up a mountain with my friend Jen, and I come back with a cat. And people are probably going to be shaking their heads, but it's a kitten, so I've been up all night, you know, trying to get them settled in, and I happened to name the cat. I wanted to name it Bruce Lee, but kind of looked more like Rocky with a little gray hood and little gloves. So I was like, named the cat since it's a boy, Rocky Balboa. So now I have a cat named Jackie Chan and another little kit named Rocky Balboa. So if you hear some noises, like some meowing, it's actually the kitten. I don't have video. You can't even see what she's doing. I got to say it's a boy. But anyway, back to my show here. I'm very super pumped, super pumped because you know, when you have those special moments of sharing with the world, people that truly work hard with a lot of heart, and I'm able to bring them on the show. You know, it's not just about the Hollywood stunt people on my show. It's about other people in the independent films, because there's people that I've worked with a few times certain teams, and one of these teams is called, if I can pronounce it correctly, forgive me again. Once again, I do have the funky Boston accent, Killatainment Entertainment Films, or Killatainment Films. And if I can say this, the man behind Killatainment Films, I think he's the lead man, but I'll find out more when he's on the show, is Alan Dillingham. And I truly, truly believe his team, I've worked with a couple times. I've seen so many people that work so hard, and it's not just the lead actors, even the extras as zombies. And I'm telling you, on one of the nights that I got to work on, hence the film that we'll be talking about, Frostbite, today, they were filming freezing cold up here in Maine. And I'm telling you, the times that you film in the cold in the wintertime, it's really, really cold. Now, the time that I got to work on as a zombie, and we actually had a place where we could stay warm, but some of the times these people that were filming till like 11 o'clock at night, they had to either stay in their cars or they were outside, and it dropped below zero weather. It was so cold. So just to know how hard these people work, I've seen this firsthand, ladies and gentlemen, and I applaud them. I salute them with my nunchucks and such. And if you want to look up on the page, they're starting to get a buzz, because with Frostbite, they actually, they actually got to shut down a street or two up in Lisbon, Maine. And, you know, it's just something where I guess the town was very, had a warm reception for them. They made the news. So they're making quite a buzz around here. So, you know, I'm hoping a couple people will call in today. And it will be, Alan should be the first person calling, and there might be a couple other people. I'm not really sure because, you know, one of the things is when people are doing films themselves, you know, they're always working. And another thing, too, about independent films, a lot of people that are doing independent films, what people do not realize, they have a certain budget, and most of the people that work on independent films with their film companies, they work full-time jobs, and they raise families. Believe it or not, these are just regular people that have dreams, because when you're thinking of films, you're thinking of all these big-budget films. Truth be told, true independent films are people that do have families that they are raising, and they work full-time, and sometimes they have things that they do like Kickstarter or Indiegogo to help raise money. And I know that with having people that I'm going to bring on my show today for the film with Frostbite, hence we cannot talk. I don't think I'm allowed to talk about the plot. It's just super cool, and it just kills me that I can't talk about the plot because I'm just so excited about Frostbite. I really, really, truly am, but I got to bite my tongue. Because working in independent films or any film in general, you're not really supposed to talk to the public about it because, you know, that would ruin the surprise when you're watching the film. But once again, independent films, you know, they have to work sometimes around the clock with a limited budget in freezing cold weather. And I think when you're working in freezing cold weather, it's like below zero. You got like icicles coming out of your nose, especially if you're wearing any zombie makeup and you're, you know, you got all the zombie makeup on. It's freezing. If you're sweating, you're going to get all nasty, and you're going to have all this blood and stuff and all the gunk, and it's just all nasty. And you have to really, you know, try to stay awake until late hours of the night. And just to bring more people in the independent film, you know, people that work on it, is to show and try to record and preserve history to let people know how hard it is to work on independent films. It really, really takes a lot of hard work. And even to get a place to show the film itself, you know, there's so many things, the editing, the music. A lot of companies, they do their own music sometimes, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing when it comes together. So keep in mind, independent films, it takes a lot of hard work. So I'm looking to see, and I'm waiting for Alan to call in, and it's going to be wonderful because he really, he's this great guy, and I think, you know, I've mentioned some ideas to him, and he just, like, lights up. And there's actually a picture I took with him, and Bill Freight Train McLean's son. We took a picture, and if you look at the picture, you'll see Benjamin McLean, he's on the left. I'm dressed in a zombie in the middle, and Alan's over there on the right, and the expression on his face is just priceless because he's like, oh, crap, what did I get myself into? Because I'm, like, pretending like I'm going to eat him, and Benjamin's, like, laughing his butt off. But on these sets, they're really awesome, and it's kind of like, I guess you can say it's kind of like family. You connect with so many people, and other filmmakers, they sometimes work together. And this is why independent filming, you kind of connect with people and you seem to work with the same people over and over again. And this is something, and I know wherever I move in this world, whether it be, you know, if I go move out to California to do anything that, you know, that I ever do in my life, I'm very thankful that I'm getting this opportunity, because when you have hands-on experience of getting to work on films and learning, it's a blessing. Because where in the world can you do your dreams, you know, the most when you're doing it? Maybe people consider you're an amateur if you work in independent films, but it's actually working. And sometimes in independent films, you also get lines. And, you know, to each film, people want to go and tag and do their thing. It's very hard because it's like a casting cattle call. When you go out to a lot of, you know, the big-name films, which in Boston I do know that there's a lot of, there's tons and tons of filming in summertime, and it's really like casting call is really like a cattle call. If you ever stood in the line, you can stand for hours. Now, the pro thing with independent films, you actually do get to do some lines. Another positive thing about independent films, which I like, I've done tons of improv, right on the spot, the director, who's ever in charge of the film, they go, okay, say this, okay, do that. And it's really cool because you get lines in a film. And so this is what people don't understand. Working in independent films, even before you go to SAG and do that and join that, it's good to get some experience, because then you also get to network with people, because even if you start off as an extra on an independent film, anybody can do this. And this is what I say, people like, oh, no, I can't act, I can't do this, no, I'm like 30, 40, 50 years old. Why can't you? You know, you can always find this filming everywhere, especially, you know, even Maine. It's blooming with films, and I'm seeing this, and it's growing, and it's a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere, and people connect a lot. And even as yourself, anybody that ever does dream of working on a movie set, you know, just go to a casting call, go to an audition, even in an independent film. And I guarantee the first time, even in an independent film, when you're on set, it's going to be a wonderful experience, because you're going to look at everything. You're going to see the cameras, the actors, see how it all comes down. And then you'll understand what it's about, because it's really hard work. Because when you're watching a film on screen and you're in a theater, of course it's going to look perfect, because they have everything edited together. And it takes you into this world with all, even with CG, and it's a wonderful story that come to life. So another thing with independent films, they write their own stories. And a lot of people, what they want to do in independent films, they want to write their own ideas. And I hear, believe me, I hear tons and tons of remakes over and over and over again. Once in a while, a remake, you know, might be pretty good. But then they're doing part one, part two, part three, part four of these films. So all these people that are so talented out there, all these writers, you know, why can't they get the money for their films? Because I swear, just hearing these ideas, especially in Maine, because believe me, the last place in the world, you're going to think Maine. And when you think of Maine, you're thinking of, like, Stephen King. That's really what you're going to be thinking. But the thing is, a lot of people that I've been connecting with, they're really, really talented. They're unbelievably talented. And I couldn't make it to this drive-in movie theater thing from I think it was Killertainment with How to Kill a Zombie. So I'm hoping that, you know, get people later on to call in to see anybody that actually went to this drive-in this weekend can actually talk about it. And I will announce the telephone number for people to come in. And it was something kind of different. And from reading from people's Facebook page on How to Kill a Zombie, which is actually getting a lot of buzz. And I think it's going to have an international film distribution too. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm trying to keep up with everything. There's so many things that I'm doing, but just to know that things like that from Maine, these people in this community are going to put Maine on the map. There's so many different names up here. Of course, it's really hard if you're not into filming and stuff, maybe you're not, you can't understand it because you're thinking Maine. What's up in Maine? You think like maybe like all this woods and stuff. And I'm not kidding. I actually said this. I'm not kidding. I was doing Essential Realism. This is a true story. And this is another film, one of the first films I worked with Alan. And I was doing the ninja scene. And I'm on a street. Now, you know, I'm coming from Boston in the inner cities, right? So here I am. And I mean, I've been up in Maine for about 4 years now, so you think I'd be kind of used to it, and I'm over where Aaron lives, and he's got a really cute place there. I was like, oh, it's really kind of cool, and we're like in his backyard, and we're filming, and it's like, I'm looking around on the street, They go, this is kind of like something out of a Stephen King book. Well, Alan just looks at me and he says, well, Shelley, to tell you the truth, Stephen King grew up down the street from where I live, and somewhere around here there's a pet cemetery. I almost dropped to the ground and going, you would not say this, Alan. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I guess where Stephen King really gets his ideas from his stories from, you know, from where he lives. Just sitting there going, no. The guy that I did book reports on his books back in, like, the late 80s for where I got A-pluses on doing Stephen King's stories, here I am going around in Maine, and then Alan's telling me this story that he actually lived on Stephen King Street growing up. And I'm just so floored, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Tell me that isn't hysterical. I'm just sitting there, I'm like, huh. But truth be told, Stephen King, he's kind of really normal because I hear people, you know, Stephen King going to stores and stuff like that. He's just a regular, normal person who has these creative ideas and making movies. So getting back into independent films, these people that are like Alan himself in this film community, they have these great ideas. And I'm sitting here wondering, with all the remakes that are done in Hollywood, how are these people that are making original ideas, which I can't really talk about because, you know, once again, it's all secret about telling plots and stuff, but I'm sitting here because working on the sets, knowing the plots of the films, and knowing how many remakes are done over and over and over again. I mean, even a Stephen King movie, how many times did they remake Carryover? Was it two or three times? And sometimes they remake a film for, you know, for the theater itself, and then they make it for TV, and I forget how many times they make it over. I mean, look at Friday the 13th. I like, you know, a good scare film. You know, I'm the chick that, you know, the action chick, and I really like Barbie, but I've always wanted to be a ninja, and I like being scared in the movie theater. I don't like to cry. I mean, if I watch dramas, I have to watch them by myself. I'm a blubbering idiot. I'm like, I'm so loud, so it's like, forget it. If I was to watch Bambi in a movie theater, that's it. You need to stuff a sock down my throat because, seriously, I'm a blubbering idiot when it comes to dramas. And I says, you know what, if I'm going to pay like $15 a ticket, I want to be entertained. I want to see people killed off. I know I'm sounding sadistic right now, but there's something that I really would love to, like, have done to me. And I tell people this all the time. I want to die really good, really, really good. So I just, like, I'm just blabbering on here. So I think I have someone in the queue. Let me bring this person on. Give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, it's Alan.
Hi, Alan. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, to start off with, before we get into the films, I want people to know more about you, like how did you grow up and how did you get into filming, you know, and like what you do for work, because I want people to know basically about independent films, because I have a lot of Hollywood stuntmen on my show, but I want to know the true heart behind independent filming. So if you can start off with what was it like when you were growing up? Did you ever think you'd want to be making films?
Oh, yeah. I knew I wanted to be a filmmaker since I was a kid. I grew up in Portland, and so it was fun to meet a lot of different people, so it really helped me. I started off actually using two VCRs, and editing that way. I'd pause it, play it, record it, and then make films that way. So I kind of self-taught myself how to make films.
Oh, so did you go to school for it all, or did you just do it that way? Or?
I just finished up college. I went to it for film school. That helped me get into the business, really. Yeah. But I didn't go to any school when I was younger. Just regular high school and stuff.
So when you were growing up, what, like, type of films influenced you the most? I kind of have an idea, but what were you mostly influenced by?
Two of the biggest films that pushed me into it was Jurassic Park and The Matrix. I think it was just it was new. It was exciting CGI and action films. I just got really got into it and haven't looked back since.
Hmm. I think with The Matrix, the very first one, I think that did set a standard for film. It seems like things had started really changing after that. I don't know if you think the same way, but it just seems like when that first came out, I think people were really blown away.
Yes, definitely.
So when I'm sorry?
I said yes, definitely.
Yes, so that was, I mean, what did you like about The Matrix? Was it the plot line? Was it the, you know, the story itself? Or
I loved the plot, and most of all, though, I just bought time. That was amazing for me to see that on the big screen. It was so new and original, and it was just great.
So what was your very, very first film? Did you do something in college, or did you get into independent films right away, or?
My first film I actually did when I must have been 10 or 12 years old. I just got a camera. I had a fake little BB gun, and me and my cousins just made a film. And I don't have it anymore, but I wish I did.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh, I want to see it. That
yeah.
Wasn't cool. 10 or 12 years old, wow, you must have had a really great imagination.
Yeah, I always enjoy coming up with ideas and plots, so it's been fun.
So what was your, what was your very first indie film after you got out of college?
I guess officially my first film was Bloody Solstice. At least that was the first co-attainment film. That was actually about a year ago.
Oh, really?
We premiered in Portland at May Mayhem and at the Nickelodeon Theater in Portland.
Oh, okay, because I did see that. And when I saw it, it's like, you know, with your own little stunts and, you know, the fight scenes and stuff. And Bill, I think he was talking about it last time on there and about the hook, you know, the hook blades that I think Benjamin was using. Didn't they hook Bill pretty good or something?
Yeah, he was swinging at him and he nicked his ear. It was a close call, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the life of a
little bit
of an action thing going on there. So how did you get the idea for Bloody Solstice?
It was pretty simple. I just wanted to do a movie in the wintertime with blood and swords. And then I kind of wrote the script around that. So.
Well, the cool thing about that film is looking at some of the people, because I try to know stuff with me personally. I like the action stuff. And you actually had parkour people. I don't know if you know what the term parkour, free running, I don't know if you know what that means, but you actually did have some people to start off in that film right away, and I was like, oh, wow. And I was watching, I think it was Timmy Hemhem. I think that's how he goes by on Facebook. And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty awesome. And it seems like those people, those parkour people, have stayed with you and like to work with you a lot.
Yeah, I like to work with them. They're a group in Portland called the Free Street Flow Runners. I met them. I'm not quite sure how I met them, but, yeah, we've been working with them a lot in films, so. Been exciting. Good to have stuck people.
Yeah.
Especially when you do action films. And
yeah, I agree with you 100% because it seems like, because of safety reasons too, knowing that personally, that I try to talk to as best as I can because working on some sets, I've seen that, you know, people think, how can I say, it's like I've been trying to talk to people about this and I think it's really important of safety. They figure someone looks a certain way. And a lot of people, independent films, they'll just put people in the films and they, you know, they pick them because of how they look. And I keep trying to tell people, you know, if you're doing a stunt, they got to know what they're doing for safety reasons. I mean, do you agree with me on that?
Oh, definitely. You got to have a certain faith in them that they'll be able to pull it off without injuring themselves or other people in the process.
Have you been in your own films, or are you just, like, you know, behind the scenes?
No, I don't act.
really?
I might try sometime, but I'm more behind the scenes guy, so.
Because you're a guy, I've seen pictures with, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
I've seen pictures with you, especially this one that I have with me. I was just talking about it with Benjamin McLean of me and you, and there's a look on your face that's priceless because you know how people can have expressions on their faces, and I bet you would have great expressions. You wouldn't have to say anything because if you weren't into lines, I bet you would have these priceless expressions because seriously, that look that you have in that one picture, you're like, oh, crap, you know, and it's kind of like, I bet you it'd be great like that because some people, what was it, Jay and Silent Bob, Silent Bob has all these expressions on his faces. He doesn't talk that much, but I can picture you doing that, making cameos, you know, like Stan Lee in your films, and just having this cameo because I was like, that would be a kind of a cool trademark.
I'm actually writing a short little film, which I'm planning to be the actor in it, so... It'd be a good one.
Oh, okay. Is this the one you're going to be filming this week?
Nope. This is, I'm thinking about summertime for this one. It's a silly little movie, but it'll be fun to do anyway.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'll be glad to see you doing some acting. And for today, I wanted to, can you talk, I know like we can't really talk about PLOS before we get into Frostbite. Can you talk about, I think it was after Bloody Solstice, I think you did Essential Realism next. Was that correct?
The next film I did was actually, the 48-hour film, Power Prison. That was really fun. Got to work with a lot of good people again. We won Best Special Effects, so that was fun. And then we went on to do Essential Realism, which was amazing time. Some people came out to be actors in it, and just people that never acted before. And I just welcomed everyone because I think anyone can act if they just have an imagination.
Yeah, and that's what I try to come across when I was just speaking it before you actually came on here. The fact that with independent films, if people are looking even as an extra, because I think as we get older, people are like, well, I can't act or do this and that. Independent films gives people, a lot of people, a chance to see what it looks like, you know, to work on film sets. So that's why I tend to think it's like anybody nowadays, at least they'd have one chance, one time in their life to be able to act in a film.
Yeah.
You know, I actually have a question.
Get rejected because they don't have experience, but I don't like to do that.
Yeah, that's
like
well, yeah, I know that's
new chances.
But, yeah, that's true. But I think with independent films, you know, people get a little bit more chances. And there's someone that's like writing something here, and they have a question in the chat room, and it says about the first feature film. What was the first feature film that you worked on? I think you already said that, didn't you?
The first feature film I actually worked on wasn't a Killer Demon film at all. It was by Freight Chain Films. It's called How to Kill a Zombie. That was a movie that just premiered this weekend at the drive-in.
Yeah. Can you talk about that now? You're able to talk about the plot after it aired. Can you talk about that at all?
I can talk a little bit. I think Bill will be calling in a little bit. He can probably talk a little more about it. But basically, it's about a father and son who are put into a zombie apocalypse and they have to figure out different ways to kill zombies. It's a hilarious movie. I was lucky enough to be the DP and worked on digital effects on it, so it's been a good ride for that movie.
Now, hopefully Bill McLean will call in so we can talk a little bit about that. Did you go to the drive-in? Did you get the experience that I wasn't able to make it? But did you go to the drive-in to see it? The whole experience, I think, was in Saco Drive-In.
I did, yes. I was there Friday and Saturday.
Oh, really? So how was that? Was it crazy?
It was awesome. It was so many people there. It was on the biggest screen in Maine, which is amazing. Yeah, it was just an awesome event where the film community really came together and made it happen. So it was a good experience.
So with the, because a lot of people, I don't know if they really realize, but there's actually some drive-ins. I haven't been to a drive-in in a very long time now. How do they, I heard it's different. Before they used to have, like, I think it was a cord with the thing you put in your on your window. Is it different nowadays? Do you have to do it through your radio or something in the drive-in? How does that work now?
Yeah, now it's through the radio. I actually saw Jurassic Park at that same theater, the drive-in, when I was a kid, and back when they had those speakers you put into your car. So it's been fun to watch them evolve to a more digital age.
So when so at the drive-in theater at the event, was it like a miniature film festival besides How to Kill a Zombie? Was there anything else playing?
Yeah, another big full-length film that was featured there was The Annabelles by Corey Norman. He was actually my professor at college, so it was really good to see his film come to life. They shot that around the same time we were shooting How to Kill a Zombie. So it's good to see them both come together at the same time. And we also had some short films, different films on different nights, but those are good too. So.
Well, so did they do anything special? Because I thought that was going to be zombies running around or something.
Yeah, they played zombies. They put makeup on, and their little kids in zombie outfits running around, and they had live music for the shows on Saturday night. It was quite the event.
Man, I missed that. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, I think we have a caller. This number kind of looks familiar. Let me see who this is. Give me one moment, Ellen. Hello, caller, you're on the air?
Hey, I heard you have Alan Dillingham on the show. I want his autograph.
Who is this?
Must be Bill.
This is Bill
is
Freight Train McLean.
Oh, you sounded different. I was like, wait a minute, isn't this Bill? You sound different. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for calling in, bro.
Hey, no problem. I heard Alan was on the show, and I'm a big fan of Alan's. I've worked with him on, geez, I don't even know, five films?
Yeah, pretty much everyone.
So how did you guys, like, end up, I don't know who can wants to talk about it, but how did you guys start working with each other?
Well, in my classroom, and Corey Norman, the director of Hanover House, he came up to me and he's like, hey, I got a friend who's looking for a DP for a film, and I recommended him to him, so give him a call. And I went immediately outside. I'm like, yes, I want to do this. It's a zombie movie. It's a dream come true. So, and just kind of went from there.
Oh, gosh. And I just wanted to make a quick announcement. If anybody's calling into the show, do not call my cell phone. Please make sure you call on the radio show, okay? I've told people if they want to call in, do not call my cell phone. Thank you. It's ringing right now. Yeah, I will be putting the number of the radio show call-in number on a few minutes. Just give me a little time. Do not call my cell phone. Call the radio show. Thank you. Sorry about that, Ellen. So once again, can you repeat that? Because my phone is going off. So can you repeat that? So I heard what you said. Thank you.
Yeah, I was in my classroom at school when my teacher, Corey Norman, the director of Hanover House, came in, and he told me about a zombie film being filmed and that they were looking for a DP and that he recommended me. So he gave me the number to call Bill, and I went immediately outside and called him, and it just went from there.
Oh, cool.
And
so
that,
now that
yeah,
we have
thing
Bill,
I know.
You guys are all hooked up for life. And now that we have Bill on the air here, could you talk about How to Kill a Zombie before we talk about Frostbite?
Well, I got to tell you this. I'm very happy that Corey Norman sent Alan Dillingham to us. Our feature film, How to Kill a Zombie, not only was really, really good because of Alan's camera work, but we just actually signed a contract and got worldwide distribution for the film.
Oh, my gosh. Is that what I keep seeing on the on your, I think, the postings? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. Thanks to Alan's help, you know, on camera and whatnot, we are now going to be in over 180 countries by August. Worldwide distribution. They're working on some theater stuff. I'm working on a theatrical run here in Maine. I'll know more about that Thursday. And Alan has been there for us every single day. Anything I've needed, I've called him. He's come over. He's put in a lot of extra time over and above the rest of the cast and crew to help us get this film to where it's at. And now we have finally done it. A Maine film company, you know, has now been distributed internationally across the world, over 180 countries.
Oh, my gosh. I'm ready to poop my pants right now. I'm just like, I'm so happy for you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just so super pumped. Can you believe that, though? I mean, how are you guys feeling about that? I don't know who wants to go first, but...
Well, I'm super pumped. That was my first feature film I've actually worked on, so it feels real good to see it international. I mean, I don't really know what to say. It's still a little speechless about it, so.
And I'll tell you what, I told people when we started the project, if you stay with me on this film, we're going to deliver some big things. And I meant what I said. Here it is. I have to call out to one guy, and that is Kevin DeBacco from DeBacco Films, Kevin and Raphael DeBacco. Those guys took our film. They represented us to the film community as my film agent. And Kevin got me four film distribution companies made offers on our film within a 24-hour period. And bam, we're done. So thank you, Kevin, for that.
Oh, man, Kevin, you got to tell him I said hi. I don't think he has a Facebook page anymore.
They do have a DeBacco Films fan page.
Do they? Because I want to like send him a hi.
Yeah, if you punch in DeBacco Films fan page, it'll come up and you can friend him or like him or whatever, and you could say hi.
Oh, cool. I'm actually doing that as we talk right now. I'm like, hey, Kevin, what's up? It's DeBacco Film page, is that correct?
Yep.
Or
DeBacco Films fan page.
DeBacco Film fan site. Okay. Ooh, that's pretty scary. There's a guy with the sock or something on his. Oh, no, it's a mask.
Yeah, it's a mask.
Oh, wow. I was like, I wonder who that is. Oh, yeah, figures. You're right there on the top, right there, Bill, in that shirt. I know this is How to Kill a Zombie, but that's your plaid red shirt, film shirt. You use that quite a lot.
Now, Kevin has successfully distributed four films internationally, that he produced and directed. This one's ours, and he was generous enough to help us get it going, so I really appreciate that. And, of course, Alan was a big part of making the film and a big part of how the film looks aesthetically because, he was running the camera. Within 2 days of being on the set, he seemed to know what Tiffany wanted. As a director, and they worked very, very well together. We're looking forward to working with Alan again on another Freight Train Films project, and I'm looking forward to working with Alan on anything he does.
Oh, cool. And you, next film, before we talk about if we can talk about any future ones, the one that we're going to talk about today, what we can, because I know we have to keep everything secret.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the film that you got to experience where it was like below zero weather. When is it below zero weather in Maine? But on frostbite. So can you guys, I don't know who wants to go first, be able to talk about as much as we can about frostbite?
I know Alan has a lot to tell you, so I'll let him, but I'll say one quick little thing.
Okay.
I can say this. I got to play a police chief in the film, and it was really fun on the set that day. Everyone there was super jazzed. It was really neat because I got to work with some people that trade, and we talked and we discussed things before the shoot. And then we got into the scene, and the scene was, if you ask me, the scene was very electric. It's one of those punch-you-in-the-face kind of scenes, and I think it came out very, very well. And now I'll just let Alan take it away.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Frostbite, it started about the time I was filming Bloody Solstice, actually, when I was deciding to make a film, Bloody Solstice. I actually had a dream about zombies in the middle of wintertime, and I started coming up with some ideas for it, and I brought in some script writers and just people to get some ideas from, and a year later, we had a full-length film, and we started filming it. We filmed about 8 days in the winter. We still have about 12 to 14 days of filming over this year, summertime, fall, and a little bit more winter scenes. The movie's unique, though. I mean, I don't think there's any film out there that quite captures the type of zombies that we're doing. It was only possible because we did a collaboration, actually. I sat down with some people and went over ideas and about the story, how we can make it a full-length film. And it just came together. I talked to Seth Roberts, who's our director, and Mark Kempley, who's our DP, and David Ricketts, and we just all pretty much just came together and came up with a great story.
And so how many, with the zombies, how many do you think on Frostbite zombies you've had so far?
Oh, geez, I kind of lost count. it was a lot. We had different filming days. I think 10 to 15 each day.
Wow.
Yeah. A big scene, we're looking at like 100 to 150 zombies. It's going to be a giant battle scene. I can't really talk about it too much, but it's going to be...
Yeah, no, I understand.
It's
going to
put the horror in the zombies.
Because everybody has a lot of... Speaking of shocking, which seems like pretty... You guys are welcome pretty much in Lisbon. And I heard that they shut down the streets and welcomed you guys, and you guys even made the news. Is that correct?
Yeah, we shut down the street. We went before the town council to get permission to film in the town and feature it as the town of the movie, and they were super excited about that. So they let us film in the police station. They let us shut down the whole street, the main street there, for a night. So we were able to just do some awesome stuff in it. It really added to the production value. And we also had a local cafe let us film there, which is, it's just great to have a community like that come together and get behind a movie.
Oh, man. That is like so awesome. And I think there was one part which I saw a picture, and it looked like, once again, with some people, there was someone hanging onto the car, and I was trying to figure out who that was in makeup. I don't want to say, it was just a cool shot. Now, who was that? He was hanging onto the side of the car. It's a red truck. Who was doing that? Because I caught my eye, and I'm like, he's hanging on. So who was the person? I put it up. Did I tag the right person? Who was that?
That's Michael Bernier. He's he's part of the parkour group that showed up that night. Do some special stunts with that car. It was when I saw what they were doing, I'm like, I was blown away. I'm like, this is epic.
Epic
is definitely the right word. That guy was hanging off the side of that car like Spider-Man, and he did it 8 shots in a row. And he wasn't just there for a split second. He was there for several seconds until the poor guy, David Ricard's in the car, moves. And then things happen.
Because it's just like, like I said, that's why I was saying about, I don't know if you heard us talking, though, but the thing is with Alan, he's actually kind of has his own little stunt team following with the parkour people. And I'm like, that's what gets my attention, is that when actors are doing their own stunts in action, because safety is a big thing, you know, which I do try to talk to people about, and people think I'm speaking out of my butt. I mean, they think like, maybe certain looks will help with certain films, but I think safety is a big factor in films, in action films. Don't you think so, too?
Who was that at? Sorry.
Bill?
That
Bill?
Yeah,
there?
Safety. Oh, yeah. Safety is definitely a huge factor. We spent 6 weeks training our zombies to fall correctly so that when we got into the thick of it, they wouldn't fall down, break an ankle, break an elbow, break, you know, dislocate a shoulder, crack a wrist. It is extremely important. Alan's lucky because he's got a parkour team, and those guys are hardcore. They don't really need any training. They've already got all the training they need. With How to Kill a Zombie, we actually had to train a bunch of people that had never done anything like that before for 6 weeks. And we did that because safety is number one. We had 86 stunts in this film, and we needed to make sure that no one got hurt. And that's paramount, because if someone gets hurt and they decide they got to go to the hospital because they got badly hurt, then they decide they have to, you know, sue the company. Well, so much for that film. It's gone.
Yeah, that's true, and it's really hard, but I've heard you got chopped up a couple times yourself, Bill, so how did you handle it? You kept shooting or something?
Well, it's my
film
company, so if I get injured, I'm not going to sue myself. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, I heard you got a little chop on the air in one of your films. We were speaking about that, and
that's only because Alan Dillingham is just a beast to work with. If you don't do exactly what he says, he beats the crap out of you and just.
But that's half the fun.
I will say that I was my own little stuntman when I was doing the video work and How to Kill a Zombie. I was up in trees and getting high angles, looking down at a horde of zombies. I mean, it was dangerous and it was fun. It was scary. It was great.
Yeah, so you're kind of your own stunt person in your own way with the cameras. And the other thing too is like I saw when I was on set with it was a truck part, and you guys actually had, I think the camera was like really high up, and you kept trying to like push the, you know, the button or something to make the camera go. So it's like it's all about angles and such. And it was like, you know what you guys should get? Invest in it. I don't know how much it is, but it's like a helicopter. I don't know if you guys seen it. It's not a helicopter, but it's something that flies, and it's a camera. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, quadcopter or a little drone. We actually used one in Bloody Solstice. That's how we got the really high angles above the tree line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a little expensive. So someday, I know I'll be getting one.
Yeah.
Part of my equipment.
Yeah, you got GoPro? Do any of you guys got GoPro cameras?
Yeah, I got a couple GoPros.
Those are like awesome. I've seen it firsthand, and I don't have one. I mean, I got a cheap one where I'm trying to test it, and I still don't know what I'm doing. It's like, here, Shelly, hand me something, and I'm like, duh, duh, duh. I have to learn as I go.
Yeah, it takes some work to get used to it and how it works. It's just a small device that you really got to pay attention to what you're doing. We actually used a couple of GoPros in Essential Realism with Jabba to one of our actresses, Sherry Collins, who we work with a lot. We put it on her head, and so we got a lot of cool first-person view of the guns going off. I think people like that view, especially in context
with
the movie. So, yeah.
I can't wait to see it. I'm, like, so pumped. And I heard that, I think, with Essential Realism, because I was making announcements, I guess you're actually pushing it back, because I guess in June, because due to, like, editing and such, Essential Realism, when are you looking to try to release it? You got to try, because I was telling before, it was at TorqueCon, but now it's being pushed back to what is the time frame, you might think, for Essential Realism?
Yeah, we actually decided to turn it into a full-length film. At the moment, it's about 45 to an hour long, and that's at an awkward time where you don't really know what to do with it other than showing it at film festivals. One of the places we're going to show it canceled, so we didn't really have a good venue to show the film. So I just decided to just make it a full-length, shoot some more scenes, some more awesome scenes, and just make it a nice big movie that people enjoy. So.
Oh, cool. And then since I still have Bill on, I don't know how long each of you have time, especially Bill, since, you know, Alan's a guest here. And believe me, Bill, I'm going to have you back as a guest. I don't know how long you're able to talk today. Any stuff coming up that you guys can talk about? I mean, anything else with Frostbite? Anything, you know, any future projects, Bill?
If it's okay, I'll go first, and then I'll let Alan take the rest of the show over. Because he's the man.
Okay, thank you.
I'll just follow
through.
Okay. As you know, Alan's part of How to Kill a Zombie, so I'll just tell you what's going on. May 31st and June 1st is the Sanford International Film Festival. It's the first year for the Sanford International Film Festival. It'll be their first go-around, and they've done a lot of work. They've been working very, very hard to get it ready. They're going to show How to Kill a Zombie at two separate venues on the same day. Apparently, they really like the film. So we'll be able to go down and just pick a venue. I'm going to ask my people when they go to split up and go to, you know, one each. That way people can talk to them and do a Q&A, and we can cover both of them. So that'll be a lot of fun. That's the Sanford International Film Festival, May 31st and June 1st. We've been nominated for 2 awards at the Sanford Film Festival. We've been nominated for Best Feature Film, and we've been nominated for Best Main Film.
Oh, man. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Can you, like, tell people, where you, is there tickets, is there a website? Where can you check out all the stuff about how to kill a zombie?
Yeah, if you go to, if, as far as the Sanford one, you can buy tickets right there at the door. They have several venues. You can find it right on Facebook. You can look it right up. Just punch in Sanford International Film Festival. It'll come up. You can find it. You can find it through my page if you have to. And they're selling tickets there. All the proceeds from this festival go directly to the Sanford School. So they're doing their best to raise money to make, you know, life better for the students in the school, which is awesome, which is probably the biggest reason I joined up down there. And that's not the only thing coming up. You can also, June 13th and June 14th, you can go to the Emerge Film Festival. It emerged from the ashes of the Lewis and Auburn Film Festival. And they'll be playing How to Kill a Zombie and Hanover House and other films. That's June 13th and June 14th in Lewiston at the Franco-American Center and several other locations. And you can find Emerge on Facebook. It's just E-M-E-R-G-E, Emerge. It's a film festival. I don't know what's going on that one with nominations or whatnot. I haven't heard yet, but I'll keep an eye out. And with that, I will let you guys get to work. And thanks for having me on the show. And, Alan, I want your autograph, man.
If I can have yours.
You got it, buddy. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill, thank you so much for being on my show. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to have your guest. And one quick thing before you go, are you going to be at any of the film festivals, like the Sanford or the Emerge ones? Will you be there yourself?
Oh, I have to be. They demand it. So, yes, ma'am, I will be there. I'll be answering questions, giving out free hugs, and hopefully signing autographs.
Oh, cool. Oh, and once again, congratulations, Bill, and thank you for calling on the show, and I look forward to having you a guest on in the future.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye. Enjoy Sunday. Bye, Bill. Well, Alan, are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, I'm just making sure, because sometimes I do have technical difficulties. Sometimes when a call drops, sometimes the other one drops, so I'm glad you're still there.
Yeah.
So what else, besides, with films and such, is there any things that you've ever wanted to do besides making films? Do you ever think, now you know you said acting, you ever think you want to do your own stunts or anything?
Not seriously. I'm not going to pursue it as like a career or anything, but like I said, I would try acting. I spent my life studying how to do the behind-the-scenes work, so it might be beneficial for me to know what it feels like to be an actor, what kind of pressure that they are under from directors. I think that will help me a little bit, at least, as a filmmaker. But one thing I really want to do, other than just films, is make video games and find a way to combine them. I got a few things. Yeah, I'm working on a few things. Trying to get a virtual reality film going. It's going to be a horror film. So I've been doing a lot of research on how to do that. It's ambitious, but it's been another one of my dreams since I was a kid. So, you know, the technology's, I really hope I'm able to do that. So,
yeah. So, how do you get your ideas? Is it something that you think about? Does something inspire you? Ideas come to your head?
Well, I'm a lucid dreamer, so when I have a dream, I'm able to pretty much control it. So it's like I get to make movies in my dreams, and so it really helps when you making films. Having ideas in your head and being able to see it through in a dream.
So if you want to inspire people out there, because I try to talk to people, you know, with independent films, because a lot of people that work in independent films, you know, raise families and, you know, have jobs and stuff. Can you give people advice? Because a lot of people probably think that they couldn't do it. Because I believe, you know, if it's okay to talk about this, because since you work in independent films, I believe that I don't know if you're in this. Can you talk about your job or anything like that? I mean, can you talk about your family and stuff? I don't know. If you don't want to, that's okay. But just to tell people out there how you go about doing and making films.
Well, I got a wife and a kid. I've been married for about 10 years. I got a six-year-old kid. So finding time to spend time with them, with filmmaking, it's pretty hard sometimes, but thankfully, I work from home, so I do get to see him a lot. I do freelance work, at least I will be. I just finished up college, so my life is changing at the moment. But I plan on continuing making films, that's for sure.
Cool. There's a lot of times, you know, people say, you know, I'm raising a family, I can't do that. And I always say, you know, if you work hard enough, you can work on your dreams. And that's why I'm trying to, you know, help inspire people who have dreams that think they can't do it. What can you tell someone really, you know, that feels down on the luck and feels like, you know, especially if you're getting older and they think, well, I can't do it. What can you say to someone that has a dream, even to work on a set? How could you inspire someone to get them, you know, set in the right foot to work towards their dream?
I would tell them, just do it, like Nike ads.
It's
a struggle. Trying to get over fears isn't always easy, but when you start doing it and doing it more, you just get better at doing it, and that's how you succeed. You don't give up, you just keep going. You'll have bumps and failures, but you just got to learn from those mistakes and just keep pressing forward with your dreams.
Yeah. And do you have the support of your friends and family? I mean, it pretty much seems like you do.
Yeah, my wife is super supportive. She's always trusting me and allowing me to pursue my dreams. My kid loves it. He actually watched you in the Ninjas on Essential Realism because we filmed it at my house. And he loved it. So he's really getting into filmmaking himself. So it'd be good to see him grow up and work on films together. But I'll see.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He's going to be wanting to play a ninja. He was really watching that? Aww.
Yeah, he was off to the side watching. He keeps asking if I'm going to have the ninjas come back. And yeah.
I'm going to have to adopt him.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, have him play a ninja. I was like, maybe I should have him play, like, if I ever do a film, if he likes ninjas, maybe, you know, like, he can play my son or something. Because, you know, I'm all about ninjas. You know that.
Yeah. He told me he wants to be a kid actor, so I'm working with him a little bit on how to present himself in front of the camera and what it takes to make a film. So I'm starting to train him a little bit. So far, he's starting to enjoy it, so.
How old is he? What was the picture? Because I'm pretty sure when I go to take pictures off of people's profile, I didn't want to take there was a little boy you were holding. I didn't want to assume it was your child, but I'm pretty sure the girl, I'm pretty sure that was your wife in the picture. You're in this is cute, adorable picture. I don't care what anyone says. I don't want to mean to make you blush, but there's a picture of you with, I think it is your wife. And you have this little white hat on, and you guys are such a cute couple, and I'm hoping that's your wife that I put in the queue. I'm like, please say this is his wife, because, you know, I like to post about family and stuff, but I wasn't too sure if that was your little boy. You're actually holding a little boy, so I assume that was your son.
Yeah, I assume. The only kid I really would hold would be my own kid, so I'm pretty sure it is. I'm not on a computer right now, but.
Okay, because I wasn't too sure. I should have sent you a picture because I like to show, you know, I like to put in the queue about your family and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure. I hope this is really his wife and I'm not putting something in it that I'm not supposed to, because, you know, I try to be respectful and show it as, like, you know, if I don't put in your wife, you know, I'm trying to respect your wife too. So I was like, please say this is, I've got this correct, because sometimes I'm a tech tard, so forgive me. So
yeah.
I think I did get the right picture.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, so is there any plans, I mean, is there any other things that you can talk about in the future, I mean, about any other films? Like, I do know I respect your decisions and everybody's decision not to talk about certain plots, and I do understand that, but is there any stuff, anything else you can talk about?
Oh, let's see. I think I have, like, I'm in pre-production for, like, 6 to 8 different films over the next few years. I'm doing a Romeo and Juliet adaption. I can't talk much about that because it's
I understand.
Yeah, and then we got another big. Adapted a book. It's a pilot book. So once we get funding for that, we'll be able to start shooting that. Script's ready to go, but we still have the capital to make it happen right now. So we got some full length features coming, and then we got some shorts we'll be doing. Including the one tomorrow that you'll be in, so.
Yes. And Jen Henze, we were trying to figure out, like, what's going on, so I assume that we're just in regular clothing. It says, yeah, I'm, like, excited. Can you talk, you can't talk anything about the plot or anything, can you? Or can you talk about
anything? Oh, I don't mind. It's just a small little short little 4-minute film for competition, but basically, aliens attack to Earth, and it's up to a few people to try and escape the city.
Okay.
It's going to be a lot of chaos and mayhem, but it's going to be a good little action film, that's for sure.
I just want to know, because there's always crazy things that happen. That I've heard about some filming where I worked with one company before, and they actually, you know, they had signs up in the police because they were robbing a store, and it was actually, they had signs up saying there was filming, and they were robbing a store in the film scene, and the police went in, and they went in to, like, arrest them. Have you ever had any weird experiences? Like, this really did happen to a film company, and the police, I don't know why they even told the police. Have you ever had some crazy experiences on set that you never expected? Do you have anything like that happen?
Not really. We were filming at a gas station on How to Kill a Zombie, and I think a police cruiser did show up because Bill was holding up a gun inside the store. So it's kind of like that. Yeah, it wasn't any trouble, though. But I haven't been into anything too crazy. I've filmed in Portland before, and that gets a little crazy times because a lot of drunk people there, and they'll get up in your face and, I don't know, they just eat themselves, and you got to deal with them.
Yeah. So this is what I got to look forward to tomorrow night, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll have people there to handle the situation if it occurs.
Oh, cool. So, like,
yeah.
Do you know who else is going to be working tomorrow night? Are you able to go
about,
up to meet?
I think we got maybe 15 to 20 people, including the main actors and all the extras.
Oh, sweet. So it's possible it's probably some people from another film. And at least it won't be below zero. And I was talking about how you guys braved the whole weather. Now, with Frostbite, I worked on a night where you guys actually had a place. And I swear, as soon as, like, you know, doing my pod, I was like, I ran. As soon as, like, okay, we're done. I literally ran inside where it was nice and warm. How did you, there was, you know, nights where you guys, where it was below zero, and you guys didn't have a place. I mean, how did you handle that? I mean, how did you, with the freezing cold, because it's like the North Pole up here. I don't think, you know, during the winter, especially at night, below zero with the wind chill factor, I don't think there's polar bears or penguins that could survive here. How did you guys, I mean, how did you survive in the cold while filming? I mean, how did the equipment handle it?
Equipment handled good. My biggest concern was with the people. I didn't end up freezing. So I made a note to tell everybody to dress in layers, because it's winter, it's cold, wear multiple socks, wear more than one layer of clothes, wear heavy clothes, so you can stay warm, because we would be outside for extended time. But, of course, we had our own little cars with heaters, so people could warm up a little bit. There was one night when we did the street scene, we didn't have anywhere to go to be warm, so that was a tough night, but we got it done, so.
You know what, Bill? He's like, he's typing in here. He goes, Alan burns extras in a fire to keep us warm. He's crazy. We're like, did you have anything? I mean, when you were doing, can you talk about any fun things on the set while filming with the zombies? I mean, anybody, you know, are you going to have any outtakes or anything? Because I can imagine, especially when it's cold and people trying to keep warm, are you going to have any outtakes with the films?
Yeah, I've been looking at the, I've been watching the footage. I'm not always on set because I'm not director, but I like to watch the footage after the day's done. There have been some bloopers and outtakes that will make it onto the DVD, that's for sure.
Oh, so I got to be careful when we're filming. I was like, because if there's any little kids around, sometimes a swear word comes out of my mouth. And because I did that before in another film. I didn't know. I was just rambling, and I was doing all these swears and stuff, and like, oh, we got that in outtakes. I'm like, okay now. So is there any little kids tomorrow night, or is it all adults?
That's all adults tomorrow. Okay. I didn't want to put them in the situations in Portland with some unsavory characters in the city. I'll say that.
Oh, boy. I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to like, well, at least you gave me a fair warning, because no, for nothing, I probably would have thought they were part of the film set, because I worked on a music video one time back in Boston, and two guys got into where the film club was, and I thought they were, you know, there I am dancing with them, and I thought they were part of the set. They're like, Kelly, nice friends. I'm like, friends? Who's the friends? The two guys with you. And I'm like, huh? And I'm like, well, at least you warned me, so now's the heads up. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be a nice, quick pace of filming. We're lucky enough to get a couple sponsors, so it'll be...
Yeah, but don't say
cool
quick.
Locations. Yeah.
You can't say
quick
because you say quick. You know what quick is really in film time? That's like 8 to 12 hours.
Yeah.
It's really,
well,
seriously? Cause, yeah, it's quick, 8 to 12 hours later. Yeah,
yeah,
I know
it's
that,
funny
because
Essential Realism, we did 40 pages of script in 2 days, and that's about 40 minutes worth of film, and that's just it's unheard of. It's a very fast-paced. My teacher... When I did Bloody Solstice, he said I was a psychotic filmmaker because we're just nonstop going to just get it done. And so, especially when you have a big cast and crew, you got to think about food, and you don't have a lot of money, so you got to get as much done as you can. So you don't have to do more days than you really need to.
Mm-hmm.
But that will change when real money starts coming in. Frostbite, we're taking our time, of course, because it is a full-length film that we plan on selling, so we got to take our time with it, make sure all the shots are good, and direct the kids exactly what he wants. So.
Okay, so are you all set with extras tomorrow night? Are you still looking for people for tomorrow night?
I'm all set, I think, but we always welcome more. I've been told I'm very good at getting people in and using them. Most everyone that gets on my film gets on camera. I don't like to cut people out unless I absolutely have to. So if people show up, I'll put them in. Simple as
okay,
that.
Okay, where could actually people, I mean, a page, where can they go if you're looking for more extras? Where are our Facebook page, your page, where you can let people know if they're looking to be in the film?
Yeah, just tell them to contact me. I like to put people in groups, Facebook groups, where I keep people updated and stuff. So... once they talk to me, I'll talk to them, and then if they're able to, I'll put them into the films.
Oh, cool. So
yeah.
Is there anybody, you know, with support and stuff, anybody that, any sponsors or anything that you'd like to give some shout-out, any promos or anything?
Not yet. I'll be doing that after we actually do it, in case. I'll do a little release of information when we're ready for that, so.
Oh, cool.
But we do, we do have a good restaurant we're filming at tomorrow, and also some local fishermen will be taking a boat out to the sea for the final scene of the movie.
Really? Oh, man.
Yeah.
When's the final scene of the movie?
I can't say that yet.
Is this for Frostbite? Is that what you're talking about?
No, this is for the... the one we're filming tomorrow.
Oh man, I'm so excited. That's why I'm hoping to, like, I swear I got to get the pens for my radio show, because you guys get me so excited. I'm just like, I'm jumping up and down, and I'm lucky I'm not scaring my cats right now, because I almost, like, literally fell off the bed. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Because now,
yeah,
I don't know who it is, but now I got, can you hear that beep? I've been posting on my Facebook page. I've told people, please, this is the second or third time I'm like, call the radio show. Don't call my cell phone. I've never had this happen before. And I'm like, I'm just going to announce anybody that wants to call into the show and ask any questions. This is the call-in number to call, 347-989-1473. The number to call in is 347-989-1473. So call into the show if you feel like it. And don't call my cell phone. Call the show. Thank you very much. I'm hearing it. My cell phone ringing. I don't know if you can hear that. So I apologize if you can't hear me, Ellen. So, okay. So how, you know, in within December, once again, how many films are you going to be doing?
Just my films as part of Killer Taming Films.
Yeah, how many? I think you said you had a whole bunch.
Every month while we're doing the full-length feature. So, and then we're going to do some more filming of Essentialism. So, yeah, a lot of movies.
Yeah, cool. I'd love to work with you again, because it's something that, you know, working with your set with the team, I feel very, very comfortable. And like I said, you can, like, kill me off doing things. And I swear there's one thing, I mentioned this to Bill, and I think I told Seth and other people, and I think Joshua Roberts and a couple other people, I says, you got to kill me off in good ways. It really, because I think it sounds sadistic, but it's like, if you're going to kill me in a film, if ever in the filming anywhere, whatever goes on tomorrow night or whatever, kill me off really good. And I'm telling you, this would be hysterical. And I says, the exploding butthole, because somewhere it's hysterical. You know what I'm saying? Because you stick dynamite down my throat, and then my butthole explodes. And I don't know if that's ever been done, and it sounds a little sadistic or something. Somewhere, the exploding butthole. And it sounds kind of gross, but how many times has that ever been done on a film?
I've seen that once in a film. It was a Stephen King film, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, like, creature got inside, and then he was on a toilet, and his butt just exploded. It was gross. So it was funny, though.
Because they're, like, literally pitching it. Someone bent down, and they, like, you know, something, like, goes right out of their butt, boom, or something. Yeah. And it was, like, I, you know, it's never been done before. Like, thinking of, like, crazy death scenes, because, you know, you talk about poop or the toilet or something, people are in hysterics, and they love it. I do not know why, and I swear to God, there was one show that I had, and I had a bunch of guys, I think it was Triceptus Studios, we mentioned the word poop, and you know that that's my highest rating show ever. I don't know why you mentioned the word poop or crap or toilet or something, and I have the highest ratings. Tell me that's not crazy.
Yeah, those things always get a laugh. That's sure.
I don't know why. So I don't know how much more time you have, Ellen. Anything else? Any shout-outs, anybody, inspirations or anything you can tell me? I don't know how much longer you have free for the day.
Not really. I mean, just for the there's so many people. I probably take a couple of hours to list everybody, but Corey Norman, who really taught me how to make films, that was Gushing, and Bill McQueen, Tiffany McQueen. I've been working a lot with Seth Roberts and Mark Hensley. Everyone I work with is just great. Everyone's so supportive. Yeah.
Oh. And how about your wife? Are you going to give a shout-out to your family?
Yeah, she's actually out right now with taking the boy for a walk. So, she's super supportive. I couldn't even imagine my life without them. So they really gave me confidence to continue doing what I do.
oh, I'm going to cry. That is so awesome. I think it's so sweet. It's so special when you have a significant other, whether you're married, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and they have that loving support. And I love that. And, you know, it was too bad I couldn't get her to call in. That would be kind of awesome. You know, it's like maybe next time you're on the show, if she wants to call in, you know, any family members or something, since you're, you know, on the show. And I'd love to have you as a guest. And any promo, even if you can't be a guest on the show, if someone's, you know, working with you, they want to come on my show, I'll set it up. If you have something written for me, I can read it on air, on my other shows, and be on the show. So anything, any promo, just let me know, Alan.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of right now is check out our Indiegogo page. We just posted the first trailer. We're about to finish up editing the second extended trailer, which is about 2 minutes and 45 seconds, as opposed to the first trailer, which actually premiered Saturday night at the drive-in theater. So I was good to see it on the big screen. So.
Oh, cool. And anything else? you know, where can you go to check out all the pages? You know, everything we were talking about, like Frostbite and everything, Essential Realism. Where is it? Do you have a website or anything? Or?
I'm working on a website, but for right now I'm using Facebook as a page. It's under Killertainment Films, Killer with an A, not an E-R. But I wanted to try to get the Maine accent in there, Boston, Maine area, Killer. A killer. So.
Well, how did I say it? Because I was like, it isn't killer. Killer, you know, because I don't do
killer.
The ER. I kind of change everything around. So I think I did say it. But what is the correct spelling? So if people are looking it up.
K-I-L-L-A-T-A-I-N.
And Essential Realism, you have all these different Essential Realism, Frostbite, and what are the other pages? They all have Facebook pages, is that correct?
The only one we have for Facebook page right now is, well, Bloody Sources has one, but that's an older movie. Frostbite, we opened up a new page dedicated just for that movie. But everything that we do, we post on Killertainment Films page, including casting, upcoming news, news reports, stuff like that, press releases. So if you want to know more about Killertainment, that's where you would go. Till we get
great. And your page, too, like if someone wants to ever get a hold of you so they can audition, where is the proper page? Can they just go to your page?
Yeah, they can go to my page, send me a message. Or go to the Killertainment page and send them a message, which I check daily anyway, so.
Okay. I think that's I think we've covered everything, so I definitely, you know, I'd love to have you on the show once again. Thank you so much, and I am definitely looking forward to tomorrow. I guess Jen Henze and I will be over there tomorrow night, and can't wait to film with you again.
Yeah, I did.
All right, and just enjoy the rest of your day. This was great to have you on the show, and thank you once again. It was an honor.
All right, well, thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. I will be playing one song here, and I will be right back. And once again, I'm thanking, you know, Bill McLean for calling in, Alan for calling in, and I have a little bit of time to talk about a little promo work, so I'm going to play one song, and it's actually by Cardiac. Let's see. I'm trying to find. Let me know. And this is by Cardiac, and I'll be right back.
them all right like a rock star. We can really be the ones to make it, even though you think I'm faking. I don't wanna be mistaken, cause the truth my heart is saying. I can prove you wrong, I can be the one. See, two hearts can be like they're only one. Just need to trust on a real man. I'ma give it all for you, understand. I will never cheat, I will never lie. This for you, my girl, for you, I always try.
The Shelly Nunchuck Show. It's usually Ninja Sunday, but today is actually Zombie Sunday. Woohoo! Anyway, today of all days, happy Mother's Day out there. And I just want to wish all the moms out there celebrating happy, happy Mother's Day. Many blessings to you all. A little bit of promo here, since the first thing is I'm a Hollywood Board of Advisor for the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame, and I'm looking to collect donations for this new museum that we're trying to raise funds for, where I'm trying to help as much as I can. And about what this museum is, the CEO, John Hagner, what is going into about, if you actually go to the website itself, it actually, if you check it out, Falling for Stars, Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame, which you can actually go there and see the official site, John Hagner, founder, CEO, and this is actually about the museum. Hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and street performers of motion pictures and television, featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, and stunt legends of the movies, including Yakima Kunut, Cliff Lyons, Dave Schaff, Ronnie Rendell, and hundreds of others. There are over 350 concrete blocks that contain the footprints and handprints, as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema, a collection that outranks those that are located at the Mann's Chinese Theater and Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection has taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and preserve a posterity, featuring parts of costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos, and paintings and drawings. Hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hundreds of items from movies and television, plus videos, films, and film clips. The Hall of Fame has been in existence since 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984, dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and to honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without a home and needs financial support to enable them to afford a building in which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in the effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame, mail to 81 West Kane, K-A-N-E, Creek, C-R-E-E-K, Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, like in boy, Utah, 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2160. Email address is johnhagner@gmail.com, J-O-H-N-H-A-G-N-E-R @gmail.com. For additional information, go to Facebook and click in Falling for Stars, then Artists of the Stars, then Stunt Stars and Legends. So you can check that out. And anybody wishing to donate, just once again, what you would do is make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame and mail to 81 West Cane Creek Boulevard, number 12, Moab, Utah, 84532. Once again, this is not just for the 65 past years of stunts, for the stunt community, it's also for the present and for the future. And it's something, you know, I was very blessed to be welcomed as a board advisor, and I'm doing my best I can to help, you know, raise money for this. Because for me personally, I think the stunt community is a wonderful, wonderful community, and it's a big part in the films out there that are being made, because these people, these men, women, and some animals actually put their lives on the line to create art and to bring a story to life in front of you in a movie theater, which you know, it takes you out of your own, you know, environment into wonderful, wonderful realms when you're in that dock theater in front of that big screen and you see these people work very hard. So to me, the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame is something important that I do hope to see, you know, gets erected, you know, you know, within, while I'm still here on the planet, I'm doing my very best to help raise money for that. And the next promo that I wanted to actually talk about, I'm opening up here, is Martial Arts Kid. It's another one that I'm actually helping to promote is Martial Arts Kid with Living Legend, international kickbox champion, who's been in the Guinness Book of World Records 11 times, Dawn the Dragon Wilson. Cynthia Rothrock, she's also an amazing woman, a martial artist, dragon herself in her own right as the Martial Arts Kid. And I've actually had quite a few people on my show. I've had from the James Wilson, which is John Wilson's on the Dragon Wilson's brother. James Wilson has been on my show with Hewitt Chin. Inga, one of the other actresses. Nasim, the young dragon, will be making his first appearance in a film, and the kid is absolutely amazing, who is only making an appearance in the film, too. He has over 200 titles in the martial arts titles, and he's actually only 9 years old. And on his Facebook page, there's thousands and thousands of people that actually like this young boy. He's been on the Queen Latifah show, and I've had him on my show, and I've had him on my show, I think, twice. So, you know, this is also another... I'm trying to find the page for the Martial Arts Kid. Let me see the Kickstarter for Martial Arts Kid. You can go there. It's a Kickstarter, and I'm trying to see information about this where you can actually donate. And it says it's all pledged of $150,000 in their goal. So far, $57,076. There's 24 days to go. Well, if you go to Kickstarter, go to the Martial Arts Kid Traditions movie, and you can check that out. And this is what it says. I'm going to scroll down. It says, The Martial Arts Kid is a spectacular coming-of-age family action film that is founded in traditional and mixed martial arts. And The Martial Arts Kid is going to be a classic coming-of-age movie for the whole family. It features important topics like class struggles, bullying, friendship, loyalty, responsibility, family, community, and even a sweet love story. The film will be partly shot in beautiful and sunny Florida and will star the greatest ensemble of martial arts legends ever assembled. Anywhere, ever. Hot cars, sunny beaches, epic battles, bad guys, and even some bad girls. Not since The Fast and the Furious has a movie screen had this much high-octane action. Your face will melt from the heat of the battles. There will be the greatest ensemble of real martial artists since Enter the Dragon in Force 5. Synopsis. When troubled teen Robbie moves to Cocoa Beach, Florida from Detroit after his grandmother has had enough of his antics, he soon realizes that everywhere he goes, there is somebody who doesn't want him to be happy. And, excuse me here, I swallowed my own spit. Hold on for a second. Oh, that's horrible. I'm on the air and I swallowed my own spit. In Cocoa Beach, that somebody is Bo Whitelaw, the toughest and most popular guy at the high school. From the moment Bo gives Robbie a beatdown in front of Rena, the prettiest girl in school, we know Robbie's chances of living in a happy neighborhood are just not realistic. To help Robbie stand a chance of survival in a dangerous teen world, his estranged Aunt Cindy and Uncle Glenn, played by action legends Cynthia Lane, Dragon, Rothrock, and Dawn the Dragon Wilson, are there to coach and train Robbie. Along the way, Robbie learns defensive skills that will give him a chance to defend himself. But will there be enough to protect himself from Bo in all-out epic battle? And will Robbie ever be the man in Rena's eyes? Find out when everything comes to a head in a final showdown that pits legends of traditional martial arts against MMA fighters in a battle you will have to see to believe. And it talks about where would the money go. We have some of the funding, yes. We're not penny pinchers, but to make movies as high quality as it should be, we need your extra help. The producers have over 100 years of filmmaking experience between them. Then utilizing Michael Berengaden's past filmmaking successes at achieving high production value even on a low budget, Michael will create an on-screen world that gives the martial arts kid a combination of beauty, American life, and the grittiness of sometimes a dangerous world. We'll also get mega discounts on the equipment locations, crew rates, cast rates, where while putting the money on the screen by bringing in some of the biggest names in martial arts. And in the grand scheme, but literally producing the entire movie for even less than one supporting actor on a hit sitcom get paid in a week. We're all cutting our rates because we really want to make the martial arts kid for our fellow martial artists around the world and for the fans of action movies in general. We want to prove the values in names such as Don the Dragon Wilson and Cynthia Lady Dragon Rothrock, and there is a true interest in real martial arts film with a message, but we can't do this without your help. It says, where will we shoot? Getting out of Los Angeles and filming many of the major exterior locations in Cocoa Beach, Florida is a cinematographer's dream. The vibe in an authentic Florida beach town is unique and offers great production value opportunities. We will be featuring amazing sunrises, beautiful waters, a local zoo, and all of the local flavor that makes this Florida coast city a tourist destination. Fight choreography. When you want the best, you seek out the best. Our fight scene will be choreographed by veteran martial artist and stuntman James Wu. James has worked on Rush Hour, Lethal Weapon 4, Lethal Weapon 4, The Last Samurai, Inception, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Battleship, Tropic Thunder, Dark World, Showdown in Little Tokyo, and TV series For the Crow. And it goes on about the cast and crew, and you can actually check out that page there. Give me one moment. I'm just pulling this up. Excuse me. Let's see. Okay, and more on this. Don the Dragon Wilson is considered the greatest kickboxing champion in the sport's history. A native of South Florida, Wilson began fighting in the late 1970s in a career which spanned 4 decades. He won 11 world kickboxing championships, among them the IKF title, WKA Star, WKC, PKO, Light Heavyweight World Championships, WKR, Star, ISKA, World Cruiserweight Titles, and the WKR and Star Super Light Heavyweight World Championships. Don has established himself as a hard-working Hollywood action star, having starred in 30 films since his film career began in 1989. Don has never had a film that has not made a profit. He has had as many as 5 films released within a 14-month period. Going down here, I'm just bringing it off the page. Cynthia Rothrock is one of the greatest martial artist action film stars in the world. Few other performers can match her presence and energy on the silver screen. She is the undisputed queen of martial arts film. Cynthia Rothrock is not only a great action star, but also an incredibly accomplished martial artist. She holds 5 black belts in various Far Eastern martial disciplines. Her area of foreign and domestic action films are as impressive as her martial arts and weapon talents. Cynthia has starred in over 30 action films and or video production made for TV. The Martial Arts Kids will be the first feature film Cynthia is co-producing. Next person, this is the little boy that I was telling you, 9 years old. Nassim Young Dragon Faris, L-A-H-R-I-Z-I, L-A-H-R-I-Z-I, 9 years old. Nassim might seem like a regular 9-year-old, but something about him sets his pint-sized powerhouse apart from others. Nassim is a junior black belt world champion that can also be found training at his father's Grandmaster Hamid Lazir, L-A-H-R-I-Z-I, Martial Arts Academy. Nassim has broken the world record for being the youngest black belt to compete in the WKC World Championships in Montreal, Canada, where he won world champion in extreme forms, a gold medal in fighting kickboxing for the 25-kilo and under division, and the opportunity to perform at the night show. Nassim also has a 4-time gold medalist, Crane Ratings International Champion in all 4 divisions, fighting extreme forms, tradition forms, weapon forms, state, regional, and national, as well as 3-time gold medalist, Crane Triple Crown Champion Junior Black Belt. Next person up here on the page. 3-time Martial Artist Master Hall of Fame inductee T.J. Storm is also an American actor, voice actor, and martial artist, voiced and made motion captures for Captain Josh Stone and Dave Johnson in Resident Evil 5. He is also known for his roles in the Tekken series and also Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Storm is a world-class martial artist who has trained in various styles for over 19 years. Storm holds belts in Aikido, Ryu, Karate, Taekwondo, Ninjutsu, Jiu-Jitsu, and Northern Shaolin Kung Fu. Storm has since gone on to work with Jet Li, Sammo Hung, Sir Ben Kingsley, Michael Madison, Kelly Hugh, Kari Hiroki Tagawa, Michelle Rodriguez, Neil McDonough, and Christina Loken. And then next on the page is Matthew has worked in various genres in such films as Mansion of Blood, Robert Picardo, Hot Flip, John Schneider, Rosanna Arquette, Among Friends, Daniel Harris, Jennifer Blank, Six Gun Savior, Martin Cove, Eric Roberts, and Treachery, Michael Biehn, Richard Gunn in 2012. Hollywood Magazine named him Hollywood's newest heartthrob. Yeah, he's kind of cute. And he's ranked on IMDb as one of the most popular under 25. In addition to acting, he's involved in his producer, Neverland. Matthew is proficient in various sports and has a second degree black belt in Taekwondo. He studied Hapkido as well as Kendo swords. He is a marksman with rifles and pistols and plays saxophone, guitar, and bass. In July 2002, he represented the USA in International Quidditch Association Summer Games during the Olympics torch relay in England, where Team USA won the gold medal. Person, oh, my page just skipped up here. This is another thing. Hold on. I'm bringing it back down. All righty. Okay. Bill Superfoot Wallace is a living legend in the world of martial arts and professional kickboxing. A pioneer in the sport, he began his martial arts career as a karate point fighter. He competed along with such immortals as Chuck Norris, Joe Louis, and Skipper Mullins. After an incredible career in point fighting, Wallace made his professional debut as a kickboxer in 1972. He quickly captured the world middleweight championship and retired as undefeated champion after compiling a record of 23-0. With the urging of his friend Chuck Norris, Wallace has appeared in a number of motion pictures, mostly as the heavy in martial arts film. Wallace, a college graduate, continues to give exhibition and training around the world. And the director, Michael Barenboim, produces Cheryl Wheeler Duncan, she was on my show before, James Wilson, Don the Dragon Wilson, Cynthia, Lady Dragon Rockrock, and producer, once again, Michael is also doing that too. Associate producers, Ewart Chin and Keith Bloomberg. And I'm actually pulling this up here. Executive producer, Dr. Robert Goldman. Co-executive producer, Jennifer R. Frazier. And the risk and challenges. Let's see. It says under here, the Martial Arts Kid is a very ambitious project, to say the least. The good news is that we have some of the most talented martial arts right there in the film. See, right there. It even says on the Kickstarter page. The good news is that we have some of the most talented martial artists right there. Yeah, bam, right there in the film. Ever gracing the screen in our film, so that eliminates a degree of worry right away. See, told ya, safety is a big factor. See, right there, it even says right there. We also have a percentage of our funding and already secured, but need your help in getting the Martial Arts Kid to the level of production we know and it needs and deserves. There's so many man hours that have went into creating this, that it's just not an option to give up at this point. It's currently the funding that is holding us back, and finding money for a movie is hard, especially for a big project like this. We can only hope that you feel as excited about this project as we do and join us to create one of the most epic and visually spectacular martial arts movie you have ever seen. So you can actually, if you have any questions, you can go and check that out on the martial arts page. So actually, and it does say where the money will be given to, so you can actually check that out. And I was seeing, I think I read everything off there. So that was the promos that I want to talk about. So, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, if in the Portland area, just go and check out, you know, Ellen Dillingham, his page, if you're looking to be a set on the extra. So what I'm going to do is play a little bit of music, And, you know, I do think that, you know, everybody very much from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for supporting my show. Thank you so much. So I'm going to play a couple songs, and I'll be right back.
The limit.
let your tell me you feel it, we higher than birds. Find me a shorty cause I got them words. Never need a flashlight, I grow on my own. Cartier, baby, now I'm in the zone.
gotta walk this way and tell me the same. Shine on me, gotta shine on me, yeah. Shine on me, gotta shine on me, yeah. Every time that I see you there, if I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky.
I gotta get this money, that's all I know. I'm ballin' out, girl, cause I'm so
fly.
I know, oh, you don't know no one
like me.
It might be that I'm so, oh, close to the ground and I'm down here dealing with real life. It make me wanna take you by the hand like, now we taking off. Fist as quick as your clothes, I'll take you higher. Baby, just so you know, I'm a rider. And if I'm on the road, you know I'm thinking about you till I fly back home. I'm telling you I wanna be the
kind of guy
that I always wanna be there for you. Go through the stormiest weather just so we can be together.
If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky. If I could fly,
if you wanna see a star, I could be a Superman in the air, I could rescue you, I could let you hold my hand, I will let you go almost anywhere if you wanna go far. Cloud nine, only for the night, you look good and I wanna make you mine, but about time, I gotta catch a flight, I hate to say it, baby girl, but your time's up,
time's up.
I guess you out of luck, girl,
I'll be back and we can travel the world.
Cause baby, you ain't gotta worry about a thing, I could put you under my wings.
If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky. If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd soar through these clouds watching planes go by. And as I go by,
I'll be looking down on you, you'll be looking up at me. Soon you will see we'll be free, spread my wings.
Take off in the sky.